I mean, how could you not love them instantly? And they didn't even have probably their best, not probably their best offensive kid.
I was like, in the alternate universe, I said, Caleb Sean is watching this. And guys, we're fine.
They've done this before. They did this. I mean, they've done it to great teams before. So it's just like, I don't even know if that's really a big win for him.
He is a leader on defense. I mean, this kid has a motor, man. I mean, you can just tell he gets into the game and he starts to defend and everybody just kind of rallies behind him. He's just, he's their leader. Like, he's everything for them.
He's him.
He's him. If you don't love that win, you don't love Arizona small ball. I mean, I don't care what level you're on. That performance is one that's going to go in the record books. What is up, Arizona high school basketball fanatics? Welcome back to the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I am joined by the CEO of Next Bench Recruiting, Jamie Perkins. Next Bench is going to be a part of our showcase, so we wanted to have Jamie on the podcast so you all can take full advantage on April 20th. Jamie, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast.
Yeah, not a problem. I appreciate you letting me come on, and I'm excited to be a part of the game.
Hey, and you know, no pressure, but, and this is take two, but no pressure, but you're the first girl we ever had on the podcast, so, you know, this is a big deal.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty good at having first experiences as a girl, so I'll take it.
All right, let's do this thing, right? So we're super excited. You know, we got to connect about... You know, it was about 2 weeks ago or so, and we started talking about the showcase, and it just seemed perfect to have you guys being involved in what we're doing to help the small ball kids as they try to transition, especially as seniors, from their high school career and try to figure out what their college career would be like. So let's just start off with this, right? What inspired you to create Next Bench Recruiting, and also what sets it apart from others that are in the industry?
Yeah, those are good questions. So Next Bench was actually created through me doing high school coaching. I was the coach at Bradshaw Mountain High School for 4 years. And then I realized that there was just a lot of things that our own girls, because I was the girls coach, that they weren't getting the full benefit of. And one of them happened to be development. Growing those fundamentals that, you know, by the time they were coming in high school, we were still working on how to dribble the ball. So, you know, we saw a big problem with the way that the schools were kind of developing the kids. And so I thought, well, how can I help? And so I started working with a lot of the middle schools and stuff like that. But one of the biggest things was, is that there were some girls that I thought had potential to go to the next level. And so when I talked to the head coach, he made it sound as if he just didn't have the time, but I don't think that was mainly the problem. I think the thing was he just didn't have the education, and I agree. Maybe it was timing, because I mean, a lot of these head coaches still have to have other jobs.
Sure.
So I just kind of started trying to understand the recruiting process and trying to, you know, talk to coaches and just kind of get some insight on what it takes and the type of kids they're looking for. And so with that education, I did start to kind of bring that into the program while I was at Bradshaw, and it did lead to once Yavapai came in, for us to get some girls in that program. It was interesting because for the last 2 years, I had been watching Brandon Farley, him and his dad are really good friends of mine now, and Ricky actually works for me.
Shouts out to the Farleys, man. Great people, great family. A little crazy, yeah, but they're great.
Hey, that, like I said, they keep me sane in some ways, so, or at least make me feel sane. So they're good people. They've always kept a good eye on me, you know, as we've gotten to know each other, and, you know, making sure that, you know, whenever I've been down there or something, that I got home okay. So I've really grown to be just part of their family. So that's one thing about Next Bench. I feel like, you know, we do have a big family union with all the kids that and the families that we work with. But it was him that kind of really kind of inspired this to go further. So I had texted Brandon his junior year, and I was like, hey, dude, I was like, you play really well. I was like, you know, you should definitely pursue college. And he said, awesome, thank you. He says, I appreciate that. And that was about all I heard. The whole season. I'm like, okay, no big deal, you know. But then it was his it was just the end of his junior year. And I'm like, dude, like, I'm telling you, like, you need to let me talk to you. Like, I need to talk to you. I have a plan for you. And finally, he's like, let me talk to my dad. So I said, okay. So his dad was like, well, you know, because he was coaching a little bit down in Florence. He's like, well, yeah, have her come down and let's see what she's got to offer. So we sat there and had about an hour conversation after his practice. And I sat there and watched the practice and saw some other kids that I really liked. And, we had a handshake by the time we were done talking within that hour. And I knew that, you know, if I'm going to talk the talk, I got to walk the walk.
Sure.
And so, you know, I made him a deal that I was going to do what I could to find him the right opportunity. And so I went for it. And I called every coach I could to learn as much as I could. I was researching. I was talking to other recruiters. You know, and I didn't charge him. I just wanted to help him.
Right.
And so my entire goal was to, you know, make sure that, you know, I was providing something that was going to be a quality before, you know, I decided where I was going to go with this. But, you know, Brandon really kind of showed me that, you know, there's a lot of really good players and kids out there and they have amazing families and they just don't know what to do. His dad was desperate for assistance and support. And it led me to just enjoy them more because you could see that they wanted what expertise I could provide. And so it really turned into a business through that connection. And, you know, I was grateful that he trusted me to see what I could do for his kid. And in the end, it worked out. You know, he was kind of my success story. So, well, one of the few, but it led to some others, so I'm thankful for that. But I wouldn't have been here as far as what we're doing now without his ability to trust me. And I think that's where it all, you know, the inspiration comes from is just working with him and working some of these other players that I have. But I love the game and I love sports in general. So you know, it was nice to be able to come back to that passion and put it to good use and find a place for myself in it. So,
well, I think it's really special to have somebody who is walking you through the process, because like what you said, there's so many kids that don't know. We just did a podcast with two great electrifying guards in the small ball scene in Presley Ibe and Cohen Hill. And Presley Ibe, you know, a generational talent, talked about how he didn't even really know what to do. And he had some people helping him, walking alongside him. So I think that that's paramount when you think about how kids are going to get to the next level. And it's super cool that you're providing that. You know, you mentioned that Brandon Farley is one of your success stories. Like, what are some of the other, like, really cool, maybe you got, like, one other one that sticks out to you where you're able to help? Because I'm looking through your Next Bench recruiting profiles. It's making my heart happy. I'm seeing a lot of small ball kids, and it's awesome, you know. So what are some I see you're dipping your toes in that a little bit. What are some of the other success stories, maybe like another one that you got?
So like right now we're working, like I work with a lot of club teams, and so I started working very closely with Stephen Hunter's Hunter Elite club program.
Okay, cool.
And so like Marcus Reus, he's part of it. Malik Holmes, Brandon Farley was, and I didn't know Hunter Lee until I kind of got connected through Ricky and Brandon.
Right.
And then you got Zach, Jiggins. He's going to be pretty awesome to watch in the next couple years. You know, so some of those guys actually kind of really built the connection through Hunter's Elite. And so what it created was, is it created an opportunity for me to help his entire program.
Right.
And so with that being said, it's led me to working with almost every one of their players. You know, we just took on Keith Knorr. I've been watching him for the last 2 years, and he's coming in on as a senior. As a matter of fact, he just signed up. And so to me, he's going to be one that, you know, he's kind of a late start for me, but I guarantee you I'm going to find him a spot because I believe that he's got something. So,
I've coached against him. I will tell you, he's got more than something. That kid is a special kid.
Like, it's hard to explain a little bit. But I will tell you, like, one of my biggest success stories came from a kid out of Globe High School. Trey is his name.
Okay.
I think he's on the website. I'm looking to see if I have his paperwork, because I don't have it up on my... What is his last name? He would be down at the bottom.
I don't see him on there.
All right. I'm not even on the next Vince thing. That just tells you how much I get on your shot like every day, right? I think. So sorry. But anyways, his name is Winsler. Winsler Noyce, sorry. Oh, man. They call him Trace, and I think that's where I got screwed up. So Winsler Noyce, I had talked to him right before school got out. And so over the summer, I texted him, hey, how's it going? What are you thinking? And he told me he was going out of town with family and stuff. I'm like, okay. I was like, time is short, man. I was like, you know, people are starting to fill the rosters. So I was like, if you're serious about this, then you need to do it. And literally 2 days before college starts, he calls me and says, hey, I want to play basketball. And I said, are you kidding me?
2 days? That's impressive.
2 days. 2 days. And so I said, look, man, I'm not going to charge you because I guarantee nothing. I said, but I was like, if I find you something, then I'm gonna charge you at least the fee for the day, because I said I'm only gonna do this for 1 day.
Yeah.
So I called up my guy over at Justice College, Corbin Graham. He's a really good friend of ours, and he worked up here in Prescott, so I've created a pretty good relationship with him. And I said, hey, I was like, I know you're coaching down at Justice. I'm like, do you got any spots left open? He's like, I got one.
Dang.
And I said, okay, what does it offer? And so he's like, I can give him a full everything, because we have the scholarship money. I said, awesome. So I sent Corbin the information to Winsler, and told Winsler, like, contact Corbin. And within less than 5 hours, I had him a dorm, a scholarship, and a spot at Justice College. And now he's finishing up his international business program there, and hopefully I'll get to see him on the court this year. He was on the development team due to the fact that he came in so late. So we're hoping that we'll see him on the court this year. But they really like him. We're getting ready. I know that we've got Malik Holmes, who's looking at Justice College. He's been going to do some workouts there. So I think he'll probably end up signing there, but, you know, knock on wood. But if he doesn't, then, you know, we'll keep looking for him. But I think he's a good fit there. So we'll see if he goes to that. And then the other one that was really successful is actually out of Florence High School. It was Brian Madden.
The kid could get up.
He's got some hop. So he had a 2.2 GPA. And I had been talking. Yeah, dude, was like,
we say that's awesome. We say that's scary hours, because that is not a good thing.
You would be surprised how many GPAs I deal with, and I just kind of cringe. Like, if that would have been me in school back in the day, like, they would have kicked my butt. Like,
right?
There's no way that my parents would allow me to have a 2.2. So you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, this kid, he came from a situation, you know, that, you know, was probably really tough for him. So emotionally, mentally, it was daunting for him to have to go to school every day and just put in the hours, you know.
Sure.
But basketball was his saving grace. You know, and he'll tell you that. But anyways, he just doesn't have a lot of guidance, I don't feel like. And so I was glad that I can kind of be a little bit of that for him for a little bit. But anyways, I happened to be connecting with his coach out of, Dubuque, Iowa, and his name is Coach Blaine, and he's awesome. I mean, I know a lot of people probably know him because he communicates very, very well. But anyways, I called him. I said, look, I was like, I got this kid. I was like, he's got a 2.2 GPA, but I was like, he's got a good heart. Here's the deal. So I gave him the spill, and it must have touched his heart or something, because normally you have to have a 3.2 to even get in that school.
Right.
And so what they did was they went ahead and put him on academic probation, put him on the development team, but they gave him a full ride.
Dang.
Holy cow.
it's like the fairy godmother, you know? So let me tell you this, Jamie. I got 1 year of eligibility left. Okay. I'm 32. And actually, no, I'm 31. And, you know, it sounds like if you could get somebody a scholarship in 5 hours, maybe you could get something for me. You know, I mean, that'd be exciting. That's
believe
awesome.
Believe it or not, there's no age limit, dude. So as long as your knees aren't hurting like mine, I mean, I got something for you.
Well, I think that's the problem. I think that's the problem that you can't help me with. So we can move on from that. But you know, what's special is I see a lot of recruiters, they have a kid and they're like, I just want to get them somewhere. I just want to get them to a school. And I really disagree with that because yeah, I feel like when that happens, you see kids kind of get there, but they don't end up lasting. So how do you ensure that athletes are accurately matched up with colleges or teams that either align with their skill level, but also with their aspirations? You know, what do they want to do? Because I think you would agree with this, and we've talked about this before off air, but like, it's not just, I want to get you there. I want to get you matched up with the place that makes sense for you. So how do you do that?
Several ways. One is, you know, I'm an educated focused type company. So we really want to make sure that, you know, the schools that we're looking at for the players, match what they want to do for a living. That's first and foremost. You know, basketball is fun. It's something that we can enjoy and we can be a part of a program and have that camaraderie that we look for, as players. But in the end, you know, they have regular jobs like you and I do.
Right.
You know, where we're having to hustle and bustle to make a dollar, you know. And so most kids need to come to that realization that, you know, look, it's a very, very small percent that actually go any further to make money in the game. Most people that play college sports do have opportunities to work in the background of sports.
Right.
But you can't get there without a bachelor's degree, at least. So we want to, you know, we want to encourage kids to look, if you love the game that much and you want to pursue having an opportunity, let's say in the NBA, go get the degree that fits what can be an opportunity in the NBA.
Mm.
You know, so go be an agent, go be, you know, a photographer, you know, something that can be accessible if you can't do it as a basketball player, you know, if it means that much to you. So we really do try to make some reality out of situations. As far as like connecting coaches with the kids, first, that's the first thing I do is when I'm going and looking at colleges, I look to see, okay, which programs do they have? Or let's say I talk to a coach and he's like, yeah, I've got 3 positions open. Here's what I'm looking for. So he'll tell me exactly what, this is what I'm looking for. First thing I do is go to all my players that I think fit that need. And then I go to their college program and I look at all their academic programs to see if it meets the requirements that they put on their questionnaire that would make them fill out.
Right.
And then what we do is we go to that kid and say, hey, look, you know, they have your program that you're interested in, and you fit the model of what he's looking for. So here's his cell phone number. Here's his email. Here's the link to their website for the basketball program. Read his bio. And I want you to go look at their college programs. I want you to read about the school. So we give them the tools that they need to be able to make a sound decision and what we require them to do. Because we have our motto is be active. We want to see that you're active in your recruiting.
Right.
So we're going to give you the lead, but you need to do the work after that. So
love that.
You know,
love that so much.
Yeah. You know, this is your life, not mine. I'm just giving you the tools and the key. You got to go unlock the door. So, it's a matter of, you know, what they do, from that point. Most of the kids learn to kind of recruit themselves after a while. And that's our goal, is to be able to, you know, give them the tools and then let them go on their way and do their thing. So those are kind of the things that I think set us apart, is that, you know, we're hands-on. So, you know, I talk to my players. I mean, I had a call yesterday with one of my kids that's over at Phoenix College and it's not going so well. And he's like, you know, Coach Parkins, I don't know what to do. Like I'm getting to the point where I know basketball is not my forever. So can you help me figure out educational wise, like what should I do next? So this kid is now coming to me for academic advice instead of basketball advice.
Right.
And so, you know, I looked up some colleges. I was like, okay, let's look at some colleges. Do you want to stay in Arizona or do you want to go back where your mom's at? And he says, well, I'm not sure yet. And I'm like, well, let's look at both. So I pulled up some programs and I told him how, what I would do if I was in his situation. So, I mean, it comes down to just giving advice and, you know, giving some direction to these kids because, you know, even at the college level, they're a little lost.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little lost. So I think that's what separates me from a lot of recruiting companies is that we create a connection to the players
right.
and the families where I don't feel like when my daughter was with, I hate to say it, NCSA, I never heard from anybody. I just set up a profile, and if I didn't keep up on it, it just didn't get, nothing got done.
Are those so, ones that it's like, you know, thousands of dollars to do stuff?
Oh, man. I have a...
We could sit and talk about that if that yeah. got you fired up, because I've seen kids that have been like, yeah, I just signed up for this. I don't know if it's NCSA. It might have been, but it's this recruiting profile.
Prospect ID is another one that parents have come to me because of the fact that Prospect ID is just she feels like they're taking their money kind of deal. So
yeah, it's crazy.
I don't understand their process. My daughter, they called me after we did a free profile on NCSA for my daughter. She played basketball. But that was the only call I got because I didn't sign up right then and there. I never heard from anybody else. And so they move on very quickly. To me, I call it, you know, they're just looking for change in their pockets. I don't know. I don't know what they do. I wish they would tell me because, I mean, it might actually help me understand their process. I think their biggest avenue of what they can offer a kid is their educational side. You can go on their website and find every little bit of information about recruiting. And I actually started using their website to learn about recruiting.
Right.
But they don't do it for the kid. They want parents to go out there and do it, which is fine. But sometimes the parent of the kid just wants to talk to somebody.
Sure.
And so, you know, to have a human connection is a big deal to me. And I think that's what makes us very, very different than some of these other companies. And you know, I dare any one of them to bring it on and I'll go up to bat with them. I will.
You know, one of my favorite things that you talked about is the fact of, you know, you give the kids all the tools that they need to be successful, but you don't hold their hand through everything. And I think that is one of the things that I've seen and I've noticed with some kids that, you know, they say they want to do this thing, but at the end of the day, they don't do their necessary steps to make that happen. And, you know, like, it's at a certain point, it has to be your college career. So I think it's super cool how you guys are proactive in helping and educating the kids, but you also make them own it. Because if I'm a parent, that's what I want. I want my kid to make those phone calls. I want them to have some help, but I want my kid to make those phone calls. I want my kid to make those connections. And, you know, as I'm hearing you talk, I'm thinking like, man, I might sign up, you know, I might put in my own little profile. Can you walk me through? And this is not just for me. This is for everybody. You know, there's literally thousands of Arizona small ball kids that tune into every single episode of the podcast. Can you walk us through the process that a student athlete would go through when using a Next Bench service, when you sign up for Next Bench? Because everything you're talking about sounds awesome. It's great. What does the process look like?
So usually the first thing that happens is I don't do any marketing really, except for maybe a few things on social media, you know, giving my kids the ability to, you know, connect through social media. But I don't do any marketing. All my marketing is word of mouth. And so 90% of the time when I'm looking at a player, that's how I'm connected with that player. So or someone is referring them to me. The first thing you want to do is set up a call with me. I want to know you, just like as if I was a college coach recruiting you. Because I think you're going to be doing a lot of talking. And so if you can't connect with me on a level of verbal communication, it's not going to work well for you when you go to start talking to college coaches.
Sure.
You got to also remember that, you know, a lot of the really great coaches, they're of an era still of, you know, where I'm quite, not quite there, but I'm almost there where we still talk on the phone, you know? And so these young kids have got to, you know, step up and be willing to pick up the phone and talk and brag about themselves a little bit. So I really do like to get on the phone with a player before they sign up with our program. You know, I don't want any kid to just jump in it because they think that I'm going to make miracles happen. I don't make miracles happen. What I do make happen is, setting a standard for what it is you want in your life. So that's what I can offer a kid. So once a kid has communicated with me that they're interested, I go through the process with them of what I do with Next Inch and how I've helped some kids, and then just answer any questions that they have. Maybe, you know, answer some concerns that they've had, because it's really important, because some families have come from a bad experience with recruiting. And we see it all the time online, you know, articles written about, you know, don't trust recruiters. And I don't disagree. You know, always steer caution of anybody. I mean, I think, you know, references are a big thing. I'll never forget, I had a parent call me and say that, you know, hey, they asked me like 20 questions. And I'm like, I couldn't answer maybe but five of them. And, you know, but they did their research.
Right.
And so it really had me kind of going, okay, how do I answer those kind of questions for that parent? Like, what do I say? So I did my own research and I started figuring out, how am I going to make sure that I can confidently answer those questions for that parent? And so I'm always learning too. So it's not just the kids. It's, you know, like, it's an adversity thing. You got to do the work too. But once you sign up, my biggest goal would be is sign up as not necessarily as a senior. And I'll tell you why. One is, it means I got to put all my sophomores, juniors, and sometimes my freshmen a little bit on the back burner. And that sucks for them, because I got to get to know a senior and quickly, because I got to try to see what I can do for them. So we do charge a little more for if you come on as a senior. But we have two different programs. We have the basic program, which is basically just, we're going to build a really nice profile for you and keep up on it. When we do our ID camps, we give them a discount unless they bring a friend, then they get it for free. And then we provide one evaluation and report. Now in the NCAA, they require that you have at least one evaluation, every year, that if they need it, you could provide. So, a lot of people don't know that. And a lot of coaches actually don't know that, but to get certain certifications within the NCAA, you got to have those evaluations done.
Gotcha.
And then our pro plan is basically our athletic advisement. So you get the recruiting education, you get the videos and seminars that we put together, you get the Zoom calls with college coaches that we put together. And those are live. So, I mean, you're actually able to sit there and talk with a coach and just get his advice. And not only that, I will set up meetings for kids to go meet coaches. We just
That's
did
special.
One with Coach David. Yeah. So me and Ethan from New Mexico went, and he's been here for the whole week. So I've been doing some training sessions with him and working out over at East Fire Courts. And then we got the chance to go to Yavapai College and meet up with Coach Davis. So it was a good opportunity for him. And he's only a sophomore. So he was very shy, but it gave him a sense of, okay, now you know what he's like as a coach and what his expectations are. You got 2 years to figure that out. So that's the educational value of me taking you and putting you in front of a college coach. And I was able to do that as a sophomore. So he's got 2 more years that I get to do that with. Unlike if you come in as a senior, I don't get to have those experiences with you. And I don't get to build that a little bit of characterization that you're going to need to be able to get yourself to that next level. So it is a little bit harder when you're a senior. So we highly recommend that you come in at, you know, the sophomore, junior, even the freshman come in, just so that they can get a head start. But we charge it based on when you come in. But the total price, no matter what, is only $1,625 for the entire program. Most are charging that per year. So we've tried to make it where it's still reasonable, and it's literally nothing more than that $1,625. I mean, that's for 4 years. I'm going to work with you. I mean, you can't get anything for that when it comes to recruiting. So we really did our work to try to see how we can make this program work. And we built a template for it. And so I think that's one of the main things, is just making sure that we can do the process the same, so that it keeps the cost low enough, so that parents that are in, you know, financial strain, it's something that they can afford for their kid, to give them a better opportunity and get the resources that they might need.
Let's talk about the transfer portal for a second, because the transfer portal is unbelievable.
Crazy.
And, you know, I know you're familiar with it. How do you stay up to date with, you know, like thinking about the transfer portal, I think it was when it opened up on the first day by like, but I think it was by like lunchtime. There was like 1,400 names already in the transfer portal in college basketball, you know? So, I mean, for these college coaches, they can think, okay, do I take a freshman or do I take a junior who's matured and who has 2 years of experience somewhere else? You know, it makes it a lot more difficult for these incoming freshmen, especially kids that are either in the small ball or somewhere else. So how do you stay up to date with, like, the evolving needs of, like, the athletes? You know what I'm saying? Like, and also with college coaches, because, like, all of that kind of encapsulates and shifts because of that transfer portal.
Yep. And here's what I can tell you that has transpired because of the transfer portal. We're seeing a lot more colleges in the NAIA, JUCO, and even in the like D3s. They're starting to create development teams so that way they can have more freshmen, high schoolers come in. They don't get their eligibility, but they get to come in with a scholarship. They get to come in and keep learning and developing into that player that they want on their team. Some don't necessarily ever make it out of that development stage, and that's just because, you know, I'll be honest, like, what we might see as a kid who's really good on the court right now may not necessarily look so good when you've picked up your top 30 players.
Right.
And so that's the difference between high school and college ball. So in high school, you pick whatever's in the school, right? Like, if you have 30 kids that come out and try, you got to pick the best 15 at the most, right? In college, I get the choice. I'm right now, like, you know, in college recruiting, I'm able to pick up the 13 players, and I'm looking at Arizona, California, and Nevada. I don't have to just pick whatever player I want. I can go and find the best ones and put the first 8 that I find that I really, really like and put them on the team if they're willing to come there, and then I could be a little more picky after I get my first 8.
Right.
So, you know, if you're not in that first 8 of his team, you know, you've got a harder chance of getting on a team as a high schooler. So you better hope that, you know, the school that you're really wanting to go to has either, let's say, a club team so you can keep playing, or has a development team where they're willing to take on kids that maybe do have that skill level but need a little more work.
Right.
Like right now I'm doing roster fulfillment for Waldorf University, and Coach Chapin and Coach Swan over there are doing an amazing job. They're great people, great coaches. And Coach Swan is actually from Marana.
Okay.
And me and her have been working together, trying to help her find recruits. And so I talk to high school coaches and find out what they've got available. And then if I think that they're college material based on what she's looking for, then I send it her way and she makes the phone call. But that's how you make those connections. So if it wouldn't have been for the fact that Waldorf is putting a development team in place this year, there's not a lot of room for a high schooler. There's not. And an interesting conversation that we had when I had taken Ethan over to Yavapai College, he was talking about Eastern Community College. If you look at Eastern Community College and Coach East, they won. They're winning teams. But if you look at their roster, who do they have on their team? You might see one or two Arizona kids.
It's crazy. Crazy, dude.
Isn't it? So if that level of competitive is coming out of this region, what do you think all the other college coaches are going to be doing in the same region?
Yeah.
They're going to be following their footsteps. They're going to be looking for taller, faster, more mature. They're looking for kids that flunked out of D1, D2 schools and need to go and finish up at a JUCO. They're going to be looking overseas. They want those kids that they wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, do their run, and then it's basketball for 2 hours, and then it's school, and then it's back to basketball, and then it's back to running, and then I got to do homework, and then I'm going to go back and do basketball again.
Right.
That's what you're finding overseas, you know. But here, you know, this is what I see. I go pick up one of my kids for practice, and they're eating a bowl of noodles, and their backpack's all sloppy, and, you know, they don't look like they're ready to be on the court.
Right.
So my goal for my freshmen and my sophomores and my juniors that come into my program is to create you into an athlete that looks like they play the part.
Mm.
And so, you know, we're still coaching you, even though I'm doing recruiting. I'm still coaching you.
I think that's a great point to take. I think that's a great point to take, because it's like, okay, what's the best way for you to compete against, like, you're an incoming freshman. What's the best way for you to compete against, like, a junior? Well, how mature do you look, right? Like, if you're mature as an individual, as an athlete, that only helps your chances. That's a great outlook.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as far as, like, coaches that I've talked to in the D1, D2 area, you know, and even the D3s are starting to catch on to it, you know, is that, you know, you've got to put the work in, and they're going to hold you accountable. Their job is on the line,
sure.
You know, and depending on their contract, if they don't perform, they don't get paid. They're going to be looking for a new job. And, you know, I mean, you look at someone like, you know, South Carolina. I mean, that coach over there is killing it. She got a $50,000 bonus for winning. I mean, so if you look at who she's putting on her team, she's looking for producers. She's looking for someone so she can get her $50,000.
Right.
She don't care if you're, you know, the best in your team. She wants the best in the nation. So you take a mentality like that, and then it just dwindles down. I mean, that's the way it works. And so you get into these JUCO schools like in Arizona, where they're hungry for championships, and, you know, and now they're going to have to follow Eastern and Coach East as an example, and some of these other national schools that are kicking their butts, because if they don't, they're going to be, one, without a job, or two, they're not going to be bringing any money because no one's going to come watch their games. So, you know, they're sitting in a position to, if a kid is looking to go and play JUCO ball in the state of Arizona, you're very lucky if you get to. And if someone in Arizona offers you a spot, take it. That's the best advice I can give you. Because they, just like me, as a college coach, I don't have time to waste. So if you're not going to see that I have value in what you have to offer my team, I got two other girls I got to call today, and one of them might take your spot.
Right.
And so, being that it's such a small amount of kids that are making Arizona teams, you got to take advantage of that and say, you know what, look, I need to stay home. I want to play ball, but I need to stay home. And if someone offers you something, take it, even if it's one year, just to get your feet in the door. So that's my free advice is that if you get an opportunity to be in Arizona and that's where you want to be, take it. Don't keep looking. Don't say, well, I'm just weighing my options, because it's not worth it.
You know, and with that, you know, I'm thinking about all the ways that you help the athletes that you work with, you know, whether it's, you know, the macro of, you know, connecting them with the college coach, or it's the micro of like, hey, dude, you look like a mess. You need to present yourself better, right? Like, I think that's super cool. One of the questions I had for you, you've already kind of answered as far as, you know, like, what do you do with the profiles and stuff to keep up with? So I know that you do that. I've seen your YouTube channel. I know that you make highlight videos for the kids, which is super cool. You know, obviously, it's hard to say what percentage of our audience is just basketball, but I know we have a lot of multi-sport athletes here, and maybe, you know, there's some parents, coaches listening, and maybe I'm thinking more parents, that you have maybe a basketball kid, but then maybe your daughter plays soccer, or, you know, your other son plays football or whatever, right? And you're listening to this, and you're like, man, I wish there was a thing like this for their sport. What's cool is you guys over at Next Bench, you guys are able to tailor your approach to accommodate athletes from different sports. So that's really the last thing I have for you is how do you tailor your approach to accommodate athletes from different sports and backgrounds? And like how do you help them? Because they all have different recruiting challenges. And I guess another thing is, what other sports can you help kids get to the next level with?
Yeah, good question. What my big thing is it really comes down to is, as long as we're using the same process for every player, we tend to have a pretty good outlook on the way that we get kids recruited. So a great example is, we took on a football player this last year. It was my first football player working with him. And I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about football. So what I did is I went out and I found me someone that's really good at football. And I had him watch a few of his games. And I had him build my evaluation for him so that that way when I talked about him to coaches, I knew what to say. And then I started learning on my own about, you know, different things about football evaluations, things like that. But one of the big things was when he gave that evaluation, I all of a sudden knew what I needed to look for on highlight videos. And so that really helped me whenever I would go videotape games, because one of the big things was there wasn't a whole lot of game video that he had. And right. There were some highlight videos that they had. And so one of the things that we do is we want to make sure that that the kids have video. I think that's a really important thing. So no matter what sport you're playing, you need to have full game video. There's a lot of things that we don't see in a highlight video. And so if your challenge is you're trying to figure out how your recruiting is not working, it could be the type of highlight videos you got.
Some highlight videos make you look really good, but it's not what coaches want to see.
No, I mean, you know, I'll be completely honest. Like, I don't want to see the fluff. I want to see you struggle on the court. I want to see how you regain composure. I want to see your transition. I want to see when you miss something, you know, why was that happening? You know, is it the footwork? Is it, you know, what is it? And so when we just see a bunch of people passing cool shots or cool passes and making cool shots, it doesn't give a full picture of who you are as a player. So yeah, highlights are cool, and coaches sometimes will look at those and be impressed enough to go further into looking at a player. But I guarantee you the next step is going to be, hey, do you have any full film? Because that's what really breaks down, is that we got to play a full game. So how are you going to act in a full game? So that's the composure that they're looking for and the talent skill that they're looking for, as far as, you know, making sure that, you know, you can get recruited in any sport. But we were able to get this football player into a D2 school based on what we were able to come up with and do for him. You know, and it took us a little longer than I think he wanted. But I want to give you a couple statistics on this.
I love statistics. It's one of my favorite things in the world. Okay. That just made me so happy.
Another reason I think kids need to realize this, because, you know, a lot of kids want to go, I'm going to go NCAA. My daughter's a D1. I guarantee it. I'm going to go no fluff here.
Crush somebody's dreams right now. It's my favorite.
I know. I'm telling you. You're not, because if you're using a company like me, I guarantee you that not one D1 has called you. So if you're looking at using a company to help you through the process, it's because no one has reached out to you. And there's several factors of that. It could be their money. They don't have the money to scout. It could be that there's just not enough positions to offer something to a player. And then it could be that, you know, they see in your highlight videos, but it wasn't enough to convince them. The other thing is that, I'll give you a great example. I'm not going to say who the coach was, but, he gave me a call and he asked me about a player, and he goes, why would I look at that player if he comes from a losing team? And this is a 3A school, by the way.
Whoa.
And I was heartbroken, because I do feel like this kid has what it takes. And I think I've proven that, because now he's getting some really good opportunities. So I don't believe one word that coach had to say, but that's the mentality that you might be dealing with.
Sure.
So, you know, it's not crushing your dreams. It's making your dreams realistic.
Right.
So I think that would be the way I would approach any parent or player when it comes to, you know, taking away the fluff of, you know, that high expectation, and let's be real. Because your real will make you succeed. But let me give you these statistics. This is crazy. So some of the hardest sports to get into. You ready for this? Tennis, golf, and here's the odd one. Cornhole.
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 You know what? That bums me out because I was going to ask you, my next question was, I'm pretty good at cornhole. Do you think you can get me a scholarship? I'm not even going to try anymore.
You know, I think if they're definitely, you know, trying to get that between the ages of 30 and 50, they got us made. Like, that's where they need to be looking for those players, man. I'm 100% there. But those supposedly, and hockey, are some of the hardest sports to get into as far as on the recruiting side. So, you know, it's a challenge. I think it's because, you know, there's not a lot of game video on it. There's not a lot of teams. Sometimes it's a one team thing. So
I want to see some highlight reels of cornhole. That's what I want to see.
When I looked at this school the other day for this kid, I was like, oh my God, they have cornhole. So I looked it up. I'm like, holy crap, there's a whole thing on it. I'm like, okay then. So I thought it was interesting. I had to throw that out there since we were doing this. And then, so in football, is also actually one of the toughest. I didn't write this down, but it was like over 4,000 kids a year will try to recruit in football. And we might seem like that's a small number, but also that's a small number that are that we're trying to fill positions for. So every year about 4,000 will get on a team. And so with that being said, it is a very nasty game of recruiting for football players. So, you know, it's not easy to get onto a football team. So, you know, if you're getting onto football teams, congratulations, because it's not easy. And 90% of the kids that go into football with a college, they stick with it the entire time. They don't transfer.
I like that.
So we're seeing more and more kids that are using the transfer portal in baseball and basketball. Basketball being the number one transfer portal usage. You know, and it's sad because I don't know if it's the mentality, you know, where people just feel like, you know, well, you didn't do me right. So you sat me on the bench. So therefore I don't want anything to do with the school. I don't know what it is. I don't know why.
Basketball players are just entitled, man. You know, I was a basketball player and I worked really hard, but there was times I felt like I deserved things I probably didn't. You know, that's how it is.
Oh, I do too. I mean, I remember going to my coach's office going, why am I benched when I'm a starter? You know, I remember those days. I do. But, you know, it's the reality of it is that, you know, when you're on a football team, there's, you know, there's sometimes almost over 100 guys. And so realistically, I mean, the chance of you getting on the field, it makes you hungry as soon as you get out there. So, you know, but I think they have a different mentality as far as, look, I'm on the team.
Sure.
And, you know, I think it's just a different mentality. So, you know, unlike we're only taking on 12 to 15 players on the basketball team. So, you're dealing with smaller numbers. So I think that, you know, that entitlement there is like, dude, it's not like you have 50 players. It's not like you know, why am I being benched? You know? So, you know, there's different reasons I think why a coach does what he does, but you know, but, anyways, but only one out of 13 players actually. So about 7% will play football. In the NCAA men's basketball, only 3.3% last year made NCAA basketball team, which is one out of 57 players will end up on some NCAA. I'm going to give you something. Just this month, I put three girls, one of them being Kia Scarborough from Florence,
nice.
And Isabel Ramirez and Abigail Martinez. They're all going to Eureka, which is a D3 school. They all decided to go with him, and they all had NAIA D3. Yeah, all three of them. They love him, man. He's awesome. He's like the coolest coach. Like I every girl is like probably just infatuated with this guy. So I literally can. He's gonna have to like swipe off the girls. I told his wife, I'm like, dude, I was like, you have to watch out, man. he's dangerous. I was like, he's even got the mom texting him. So
that's awesome. Like,
Yeah, but he's a great coach. So I think they're going to do really well out there. And he's excited to have he definitely likes West Coast kids. And that's one thing I will tell you is that if you're a West Coaster and you're looking to play ball, these East Coast coaches want you. They think I don't know if it's just we have a different level of grit than what they're seeing out there, or they just want to transition to a different mentality. I don't know, but if you're wanting an offer, you're going to get him on that East Coast or on the east side of the country. So lots of opportunities out there for us west kids, so, and southwest kids. So something to keep in mind for the kids. And then the other one that I would say is that in baseball is the highest percentage, with 12% of high school and varsity players getting onto a college team. About 11 out of every 100, which is about 1 out of 10 teams. Okay. So you have a better chance of playing baseball than you do basketball, and you have a better chance of playing basketball than you do football.
So, I love that. I love statistics. You know, those are things that I can throw out later on in my day tomorrow, and I can just kind of act like I know what I'm talking about, you know. So
there you go.
So yeah. I appreciate
if
that.
If you don't remember, just remember they're low numbers, so come up with something low.
So, you know, obviously, you know, for all of our listeners, you can tell why I wanted to hook up with Next Bench and hook up with Jamie, because, you know, their mission is the same as our mission. We want to try to help you guys gain attention, recognition that is deserved and that you need, right? And obviously we have different ways of doing that, but just have loved getting to know Jamie and Next Bench and just kind of their mission so much better. And it's super cool, the different types of sports that they can help you with, right? It's not just about basketball, although I think that's probably your specialty. There's many other things that they can help you guys with, which is really cool. So I'm super glad, you know, they are going to be at the showcase on April the 20th. And you know, there's going to be a lot of other people there at the showcase as well. Want to give a huge shout out to our main sponsors over there, over at Cloud9 Sports. You guys know they're the best sports apparel company that's out there. They're the bomb. They're providing all the jerseys and all the shirts for us. And, you know, they work with the small ball coaches. They have the same mindset that me and Next Bench do, right? They're all about the small schools. They're all about helping athletes. So head on over to cloud9sports.com. Use the promo code all caps SmallBallArmy. You can get 10% off your purchase. I promise you won't be disappointed. You know, you're going to see them there. You're going to see Next Bench there. And, you know, if you guys see the booth of Next Bench and you're listening to this podcast and you're like, you know what, I kind of am interested about the recruiting stuff, you already have a decent little background, so head on over there to their booth. Check them out. Connect with Jamie. You know, and for you seniors who are in the showcase, you know, we haven't told you guys all this yet, but there's going to be a little bit of a – we've got like a special treat for you guys where you're going to be able to connect with Jamie and Next Bench before the showcase as well. So got some really cool stuff planned for you, and, you know, excited to partner with Next Bench. And, Jamie, is there anything else that you want to say before we get out of here? Because I've really enjoyed our time talking.
Just that, you know, you just put the work in. You know, as long as you're willing to put the heavy work in, you're gonna be seen. You're gonna get recognized for the work that you're doing. So, if your goal is to play sports in college or at the next level or on the next bench, work hard and be active. I think that's the biggest thing, is as long as you're active, anything can happen. Anything.
Mm. You know, I felt like you were talking to me on that one, Jamie, and I'm dreaming of my hopes of playing cornhole one day at Duke University.
We'll have to practice together. We're not that far away.
Hey, thank you for hopping on the podcast, Jamie. I appreciate you.
Oh, no, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for letting us come and be a part of your event, and we're definitely looking forward to meeting some of the players and hopefully the parents and coaches.
And for all of you Arizona small ball fanatics, we want to thank you guys as usual, as always, every single time we say this. But thank you for your continued support for the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. We appreciate you guys. We got nothing but love for you. And we will see you on April the 20th. We will catch you out there soon.